and I did so. And South African Weather Service. Of course, we should also inform you that we have been briefed by the Auditor General on your performance, and we will be raising some issues around that area. But also, we know that whatever issues that the Auditor General found around yourselves, you probably have a plan now to put in corrective measures regarding those issues for us as such is important. Where we were a little bit concerned as a committee is where we seem all of us in the family of environment, whether it DEA itself, the department, or the four entities, we seem to be quite lackluster on the question of IT governance. So that is one area that we would indeed request that we all pull up our socks in relation to this particular area of work. So that indeed the IT instruments that we have can have the business in terms of backup systems that are called, I'm not an IT person, but I had one of the words called what, a firewall, something like that. And that issue of risks of information not disappearing, but is in our IT environment and we are unable to find it. And basically the issue of the IT instruments being relevant to the work and not being generic, being relevant to the work that we do, to the environment that we are in, but also relevant to the locality that we find ourselves in. So it's an area that we will be focusing on very strongly. But we also know that all of you received wonderful reviews from the Auditor General as a sector. And again, not for the first time, for many years, but 3 years ago, you have been able to demonstrate your capacity to serve our people with integrity and dignity and respect. And that's what we are here for. So we really appreciate that again you have been able to receive unqualified audit reports in this instance. And with some findings that could not make you to be qualified. But even those findings are not findings, but rather between the two of you, that we can not have wonderful systems over. Audits that can be attended to, or studies that can be attended to, and we can then move forward with our lives. But broadly, we appreciate that you are able to do your work. Of course, you will also know that we have interacted with you regarding the year under review. We have been able to engage with you in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. So whilst we are now at the tail end, and we have got to comply with our DCPR, but we do so knowing what we have done within the year under review. So that's why then you will not have to go through everything. When you make your presentations, concentrate on what you were unable to meet, the reasons, and how you will take corrective measures. That's the first issue. The second issue is on the findings of the Auditor General, if any. normally that the auditor general found in relation to you as an entity. This then says to welcome all of your colleagues, and we are hopeful that come 1 o'clock, all of us will be out of this place, and so that we are able to catch your flights. I'm told that there are some of you who are going to Mauritius, catch your flights to Mauritius, whatever it is that you are going to do there. Just make sure that you are not caught up by climate change as the fact when you are in Mauritius. So that was on a lighter note. You know all these members, I want to introduce them again. And you know the chair of the committee, I want to introduce them again. Safe to say that this is a serious process from where we sit here in Parliament. Because once we have engaged with you on what you have done last year, we now have an added independent opinion from the auditor general, which changes indeed the importance of this engagement. But it re-emphasizes how all our framework as government are geared towards setting our team. We have put all these measures in place, including, you know, scrutiny by the auditor general, so that all of us, with the resources we get from the public, are able to serve the public with integrity and everything that is within our expertise. So that's why we're here, and we've only been given a week. Again, that's why you must also forgive us for calling you, all of you, within this week, because come next week, we must report our own findings on your annual reports in relation to the DRR process. That says to open the engagement, we will start with the briefing by Isimangalis of Web and Parks. And again, as we have indicated, we don't want everything under the sun. Zoom on what we did not do well, and how in this financial year are we going to do that well. Secondly, when you have done that, stick to the findings of the auditor general. Again, if the findings of the auditor general are linked to your inability to meet the targets, indeed you have responded to that, and then you need to speak to your performance. Thank you very much. We now hand over. I don't know whether we start with the department first. Who's acting? Judy, are you wrong? Yeah, acting manager.
Okay, thank you very much. There's not much we want to indicate. We brief you fully on Tuesday, so directly over to Andrew. Honourable Chair, members, colleagues, having listened carefully to our chairman's words, what I'd like to do is probably present the first 4 or 5 slides and then see how the chairman would like us to continue, and if there are any issues you want to deal with, or alternatively, I can go to the full presentation. The first slide is really up each year, if you want to leave so themes, its annual report. In this financial year, it's really themed and dedicated to our staff, and particularly to the photograph of our 2 staff members who are late, Mr. Herbert and Timbu, and Timbu Bukulegi, who were sadly killed last year in this financial year in a car accident when they were coming back from being rhino work. So I thought it was just appropriate to remind the portfolio because in an entity like ours, it has a huge impact. Mr. Timbu had 40 years working experience in conservation. He started off as what they used to call in the apartheid era a game scout with a matric, and he was doing his master's when he was unfortunately killed, and he was a park operations director, in other words, in charge of all operations. Can be with a lady, also from the region, started with us as a student and an intern, and she worked for our organization to several posts, and when her untimely death happened, she was a manager of environmental development controls with the VHC. And it's been typical of many of our staff members who actually managed to educate and work at the same time to come and support. If we move on to the next slide, which is the opinion of the Auditor General, Timo Ngeliso receives a clean audit. The Auditor General's comment was the financial statements have been presented in all material aspects, the position of the Shimandi Silicon Park Authority. There were no findings. In terms of legal and regulatory issues, there are no items to report, and there was compliance with legislation and no incidences of non-compliance. The next slide, school takes it onto it. Next slide, please. Is six key focus areas of the Auditor General, and I'll go through them. On the quality of AHS submitted, it was good. The quality submitted the performance reports was good. Compliance with legislation was good. Financial health was good. Human resource management was good. Information technology, the Auditor General stated that the IT policies need to be consolidated into one document that conforms with their format. In other words, the Shimagisa had IT policies, but they want to put into one document and into the AD's format. This is in process, and the Shimagisa is currently upgrading all its IT hardware, and the IT policy consolidation and the hardware upgrade goes together because they have to relate to each other, and we expect that that will be in place by the end of this current quarter. No unauthorized fiscal or waste expenditure was found, and internal controls and required assurance levels were found to be in place by the Auditor General. I'm not going to go through each one of these slides, but if you look at that, it looks at the six items that I have gone through in more detail, and it also looks at prior years. The yellow is the IT issue that I've just dealt with. That yellow is no smile on the face, but it's not red. And that is the only yellow we have in this year's audit. So if we go on to the next slide, all the smiley faces are green. The pictures in between are just really to break the presentation to show some of our staff and what they do, and some of our partner organizations and contractors. The next slide, if we go on to it, deals with, at a high level, with 2015 results. In total, Shimagisa had 30 performance indicators. We exceeded 10, we met 18, and there were two that are not met. Looking at the first program, it's conservation cooperation, so if we hit over, the members will find that they have their presentations with that, so let me just go down to and deal with the performance indicators that were not met. The first one is for achievers. It's the portfolio committee wants to hear why they were achievers. In that first slide, on the bottom right, rehabilitation of regulated habitats, we achieved that KPI by 11%, largely due to the fact that we were able to source additional funding. If we go on to the next slide, adherence to conservation operational plan, all those KPIs on that page were met. Then we want to program two, transformation, and we go to the first detailed slide, and we go down this. All the KPIs were either achieved or exceeded, and the reasons are in the right-hand column where they were exceeded. So if there's any explanation there, or the portfolio chair would like to go through each one in detail, I can do that.
Where we have achieved it or not met, speak for us.
Yes, okay. On the first one, creation of temporary jobs, the target was achieved, and that was due to the fact that there was additional funding sourced for alien care in the financial year. From new permanent jobs, the target was 10, we achieved 19. That was achieved because we were able to appoint new staff as well as contractors appointing new permanent staff. And the big number was achieved because the one-year family internship program that started that year, we have been able to source money to actually extend that contract to 2 years. So that's why the extra, or how the extra numbers ended up. In terms of SME support, where we achieved it, there was new funding source in the air. We received funding from USAID, and we were also then able to expand our mentorship program to increase the numbers, and that's the key reasons. BE procurement, 76%, target we achieved 86%, was due to the fact we received additional money for Asian care. On training, we exceeded the target, and that was for two reasons. One is we took a decision from a safety point of view to retrain all contracts in dangerous games. It wasn't due, but we decided to move it earlier. And second area of bursaries was because the jet budget from the World Bank was restructured and we were able to bring some money into training and into bursaries. Moving on to program three, tourism and commercial strategic objectives. This is one of the two KPIs that weren't met, the increase in visitor numbers. The target was 533,000. We achieved 500,000. The reason for that was a shift in entries. Increasing number of people are walking into certain sections of the park rather than driving in, and therefore they're not captured. In other words, they don't capture. The policy allows them to walk in, not charge them out of money. In terms of revenue, the target was 12 million. We achieved 15 million, largely due to the fact that we introduced an I-brand overnight levy, which is consistent with other major parks like the Africa National Park, so it's Kruger National Park and Sri Lankalozi Park. Moving down to children participating in environmental awareness programs, that target was cheated, and that was because we had two types of entries, the groups we actually organized, and then there are schools that come on their own, and there was an increase in the number of unsolicited visitors from schools in the region, and that pushed up the number of visitors to the park. Going on to the next page, this is the only other page. Yes, sir.
We are on the same wavelength. Children to participate in environmental awareness program.
Yes.
Our target was 2007.
Yes.
Yeah, 2007.
Yes.
Now, I don't get the sense of how did we achieve it when we don't get the number.
No, with the school children coming in, when school groups come that are unlisted, in other words, they're not school groups we bringing in, and not groups that we've organized in plans. Then what they do is they make an application to the park, but we discount entry fees, and if we can, we put staff member on. So the total number of learners that visit the park in the financial year is 5,710.
Where is it? 5,710.
If you look at the presentation, it was missing in the version that you've got.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it's been added on because we updated the presentation very slightly into the AG's finding. I've been re-edited, and that's the only edit that is in this document. So I'm going to congratulate the chairman for doing oversight fully.
So the number is 5,000?
The total number is 5,710.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't even see that.
I'm struggling as well, so we'll keep looking. Okay, if you go over the page, the other... We have two KPIs that weren't met, and the beginning of the second KPI, and that was to do with the number of youth flashes that were out in a year and the number of park trips. There were 23 youth flashes instead of 24, and in terms of park tours, there were two. The park tours were scheduled for the end of the financial year, and the staff member that was doing it didn't achieve it in that time frame. They have since happened. They have been run. They just weren't done by the end of the financial year. So that covers that. If we go to program four, corporate governance, all the KPIs are met. And that deals with that slide. And then, with the permission of the chair, we'll look at 2015 financial results, and I'm going to ask Vida Kadir, who is our CFO, to take the committee through the financial results.
Before we go there, because the report of the auditor general does tell us what is the financial health,
yes,
of East Mangaliso,
yes,
and again many other entities in the department that reported, including the department. So we have decided not to go into the financial health unless there is something extraordinary in the financial, that you want to point out. But generally, we are satisfied because, in fact, We have people who are more learned than us, who have gone through your financials with a kumbras, who found your financials to be okay. Unless there's something that maybe was not diverse to the auditor general, or some other thing that you want to highlight to us.
Honorable Chair, I think we covered the words you have found the health of organizations for green.
You agree with me?
Yeah.
Thank you. So, colleagues, that's where we are on Isimangalis. We now can hear from you. The good part is that you are from there. I was not there. Yeah, that's the other good part. You are from there. And by the way, Ed, we are planning a, you know, in football language, there's something called a return match. So we are planning a return match to Isimangalis because we couldn't do all the things that we wanted to do. And we could also not take us to everywhere where we would like to, where we would like to take us. So we are then planning that a return match. Baba Pumana.
Thank you, so the overall performance of the entity is quite impressive, and the financial management is also impressive. One thing that I would like to know, Honorable Chairperson, is like, what's the number here, where they think the financial results should be in the increase in the net assets of 10.3. Can they tell the public what transpired with this net increase in the net assets? Can they briefly tell them the public? we do need to do a lot more in terms of ensuring that this NGCAN work is accommodative of the kind of situation that we are in the new South Africa going forward. And so you can actually comment on us, and I'm saying there should be more room for improvement in as much as the book tell us what it is actually effect. The rest we can talk when we are back there, and when we shall have more time to actually see the wetland in its entire, because it's more than 200 kilometers wide of wetland, and we could not do much of that in the time, within an hour. That could not be possible. We would do it in a day or two, and be able to understand what you are doing. The attention.
Thank you, sir. Just to add to what the Honourable is saying, the other issue is to keep up all your internal controls. Like, for instance, these are the minor issues that the OEC will keep up. Like, for instance, now we would want to get to this, you see the joking, but when you look at the slide of the cleaner, there is no indication of the cleaner. And this is one of the things that the OEC will keep up, and then you find that you have this material statement. In future, they ensure that the information that you give us is portfolio. It is accurate, a reflection of the information that you have. So that you don't keep on asking the very same question. And then at the last minute, you say, oh, no, we have updated that, it's on this slide. But when you look at on your presentation, it was not presented to us. Because if you get this information, you start to prepare our assets for the meeting. Then when you come here, you look at the slide, you have the information. Please, you saw that in future, look at that as well, so that you don't have this negative.
Just from my side, we might have met the increase in visitor numbers, except that there are some people who have not recorded. How do we make more than a point? And that is to ensure that we record everybody, not only people who are in the hackers. How do we make those amendments? The other issue, the other matter that we are not able to meet is your news flashes emailed. How do we ensure that that is also met? You know, I'm raising these issues, and they will also speak to your, where you have exceeded. Where you exceed, for instance, on children to participate in environmental awareness program, your target is 2,700, then you have 5,000 700, so that 100%, more than 100%. Now, immaterial how you can explain them, I will then have to ask myself, was the target really not, you know, there's something called overstated. I don't know when to do the opposite of overstating what you mean. Underrating, I'm sorry. So, but I understand what you said. And when we put up these targets, don't we know how we operate? Don't we know our operations? Don't we know that the school children coming? So that again all of us are not found to be wanting. Indeed, the auditor general might not have found anything wrong because you explained it. But I'm just as a public rep. When you come to me with an performance target on ATP, where you're saying the target is 2.7, and you exceed it by more than 100%, it raises some problems with me. It's a good performance, but the problem is whether indeed you did not underplay and undercoat in terms of the target that you have. And the same would apply to when you are recruited by 1 or 2%, that is to be. But when you recruit by more than 100%, I think you'll also be as worried as I am under those. The other one, which again is the same, training programs for 100. You then go to 1,184. In percentage terms, that's more than 200%, or more than 300%. Again, a worrying trend. Yes, good performance, but the crossing of the targets was really done understanding the environment we work in. Again, when a decision is taken to train all contractors in general scheme training, I would think that decision would be taken before the start of the, or before you present, because it's a fire exit decision, before you present your annual, your ATPs. And unless it was taken after, but that has been easy. Understanding the environment you are in, understanding that indeed there might be a need to train everyone, apart from only training those that work in your entity. Indeed, you might have felt that in terms of crafting your ATPs, you might perhaps put them at a higher level. The same applies to now. Where you say you see we got more money, was there no expectation to get more money? Yeah, that's the same way. Because when you say you have ship, it's like people who are playing on a dice. You know, if you know what a dice are. You know, you are not sure whether you will win or lose, including gamblers. But you are not gamblers. You have capacity to plan with precision. Capacity to plan with precision. And if you have got this capacity to plan with precision, yes, we still agree with you that you did well, you got some more money, whatever. But you should have known that you're going to get more money. Unless this money came from some place called, in the old days there was this thing that was called mana. That came from some heaven. Those of us who go to church from time to time. Now, you will not have anticipated the coming of mana from heaven. You could not have planned for that. There's no way. Because only one person could have planned for that. That is the manna, coming from heaven. So we mortal beings could not. And in this, that gives us the crux of the matter. Are we able to anticipate the decline or the picking up of our operations during the year? As we make these ATPs, are we able to anticipate it? Or even, because again, these monies that we got from wherever, the likelihood is that we did indeed make applications of these monies. We did. We did not just start somewhere in the middle of the year. We're making these applications of these monies. Now, this argument, we will then go through everywhere where you got new money, then increase in performance. We are then asking, couldn't we have dealt with this matter much, much better? Because you said, the problem that you will do the same next year. You have immediately given us your 80%, by the way. You will come here and say that, you see, we have not performed because we thought we would get some money. If we want to satisfy with this argument, the adverse of our plan, where you then come to answer you, it's a matter that we have raised in Parliament, by the way, that they said to us they were going to do certain things in climate change, and then the change in Georgia is there. They said that now we couldn't, because we couldn't, the money came late from some people. But what they said, that is within our control, that we must plan for. So, I know that you will have wonderful responses to this, but you have heard us.
Thank you, Master. One last question. That's why I would like to have a clarity on this issue. One of the strategies that they use for the new enhancement is to introduce an overnight slaving over a nation from by country. And why they have used this strategy all along in order to increase the referendum? Because I see that according to the economy, it's constantly somehow the level, again, they use the same slave overnight. Can they check on that? Why they have used this all along?
And then we are respond to the question that I've raised. Also tell us, how much is this new money that you got? And let me reflect on it on your financials. So that we also get to know how much is this new money that you got and where is it reflected. But still, was the planning done well to inform your targets? Sorry, I know that I'm in a difficult chair, but Andrew, now is a chance to respond.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm going to leave a net asset question for Vida to answer at the end, that's right. The issue with internal controls and the one error made in the presentation document and asked the portfolio committee, I must apologize. It's my responsibility. I should have read the document more carefully the first time. And it's certainly something we work for, what's very carefully going for. In terms of firebrand levy, Ishimangalisa strives to keep Ishimangalisa as affordable as possible for the public of Africa. So be very careful before we introduce charges and costs, because we also have to be very mindful that a large part of Somalia's business are people whose pockets get affected even when there's a petrol price hike. So for example, if there's a petrol price hike before an Easter weekend, they actually feel it like that, because there's a very monthly aware public comes to Somalia, so there's a lot of camping and there's a lot of lower costing type of tourism that happens. We have this in a fire overnight levy, the guests are actually staying in the park for 3 weeks, they only pay one entry fee if they listen to three or four guests. And the mark we charge is much, much lower than the other national parks, we want to call that, or the national park down in HIP. The exact monetary amount that is brought in, we just trying to do some calculations on her computer, and if she doesn't do it by the end of our presentation, we'll be able to afford that amount to you. Moving on to the issue of exceeding targets, the point that the chair has taken, I think that the target is being achieved and overachieved with very specific reasons why, and I think taking the point, I think what would add value to the portfolio committee is you have two types of targets. You have targets, for example, where it's completely in the entity's control, largely in the entity's control, and then you have targets which aren't. And I think the issue of learning coming to part of the issue had been raised by the portfolio previously. It was raised by Honourable Member Ghani in the quarterly report. And the challenge that we've had there is that the learners are coming to the park, they're loose organized by the park, and that is quite our formal program. Our predictions can be very accurate. But when it comes to schools, and there are 600 schools in the Greater District, that the father comes to the problem of not, you have very little control. What happened several years ago is one of the former MEC's education announced the schools to no longer come on these trips, not just in Malagisa, but generally across the province. And it was caused by the fact that some learners had been on a school trip, and the school trip wasn't necessarily properly managed. There wasn't a school trip to Shimangalisa, and some of the learners had been drowned. So there was suddenly a clash in the number of learners and teachers taking trips to the park. So Shimangalisa was very cautious in that figure, because we're not sure how it's changing and how it's picked up. But the P and D type of trips are increasing again. But again, it's not something you can predict with great accuracy. When it comes to a training program, I think the point that the chairman's raised is well taken. What happens in the entity is during the financial year, once ADTs are closed, you might find that there's an incident which raises an issue of the fact that you can't delay the retraining of people in dangerous game by a year. For example, you might have an elephant suddenly takes the light into a gate and always in the gate, and suddenly discover that the staff that are there retrained and the period for retraining is every 4 years in terms of the OSHA, but you need to actually speed it up. So it does happen. The other challenge you have, and I think it's a positive challenge, is when you get projects that are externally funded, and some of the additional budgets we're talking about, for example, is from the World Bank. We have a big project running from the World Bank, 54 or 55 year project, I think which you can extend it by a year. Every time they come and do a review of the project, you then relook at the business plan, you relook at the deliverables with them, and in consultation with the World Bank, they then guide you to how you can do budget adjustments or how budgets get readjusted. Those don't work within the time frame of the South African government's planning, especially standing time frames. So some of the examples we're talking about here were World Bank and basically business plan changes at the direction of the World Bank and agreements with the World Bank. And for example, the USA, that money wasn't expected. So when you are managing an entity, you always look out for opportunities for funding and budgets. Very often you're able to put in a budget or put in an application somewhere, but you see an opportunity and the funding comes forth. And it's not within a treasury cycle or planning cycle. So rather than turning down, you take them and you overachieve on your KPI. But the point that Chen is making of when a KPI is overachieved, and certainly overachieved by a large amount, the question is correct. Why is it? You know, because it looks like the project wasn't very consistent or good on target plan. So that point is well taken. The issue that was raised by the group on DE and tour guides, it's really good that issue in the whole presentation. But when you see Mangaliso tenders, or advertisers or licenses, the private sector comes in and bids. That process is run to treasury rules and they are target set in that. So the targets would include environmental, they include financial, they include empowerment, and they also include business planning or performance. They are very specifically set, they are minimum target set, and they are evaluated. Over and above that, as tourism and Shimangalisa has been growing, and we remember 10 years ago, tourism and Shimangalisa was negative growth rate in tourism, but low national bed occupancies. Today, as we speak, Latin Greece are now accounts for, I think it's 6.7% of core business tourism GDP and 6,000 direct jobs. So there's been a huge growth. As the Shimangalisa, and now I'm referring to government, has able to get tourism that begins to grow, whether it's improved roads or dealing with malaria, so increasing the empowerment with that growth. And Shimangalisa is a very strong supporter. It predates the current Asian government of radical transformation. And that's why our slogan is to develop and to conserve. So we also have inner licenses that get issued from time to time. Licenses are reserved majority, locally owned and managed. That team. So we obviously as an entity prescribe to government PE, but in the case of this Mangaliso, we also have another level of PE, which is what we call mandatory partners. People are living in the area, they're born in the area, they're registered to vote in the area. We have 640,000 people. Second poorest area in South Africa, the second biggest backlogs, and largely failed local governments. Most of the municipalities under special management by the state. There are very few jobs being created in the area. is Himangalisa in very small resources has delivered a significant number of jobs. Approximately 60-65% of all revenue that Himangalisa receives goes into capital expenditure. Projects to create jobs, projects to create a tourism platform. We also have a program which now includes, and that's the entrepreneur called SMMEs. It's an entrepreneurship program that has about 180 entrepreneurs in it. And one of the reasons for the increase there was rather than just be a one-off training of entrepreneurs assisting with startup capital, it's not necessarily in tourism, it's now a much more mentoring program to keep supporting them. So the capacity has built. People on the ground are frustrated. Transformation has not been quick enough in the region and South Africa generally. And there is huge banks on the ground that don't need to support projects and measures about this. But when you issue money from the ground, you pay it every day. So that is the approach. So when you meet some of those tour guide drivers, they are working for companies that have a license. The company might be a one-person company. It might be a company with three vehicles. Those companies have empowerment in them. So your boat driver might have been white if you're in a small boat. The owner is 61% locally owned and managed. But where Himangalisa needs assistance, and I know the chairman's not convening the bar and our finances, and clearly we have structured departments in two areas. We're hoping to forge a stronger working relationship with the Department of Tourism, so we can start picking up their budgets, so we can start accelerating opportunities in the park. And we should remember, you can't go and put our five licenses, only as business is not business for those people, because then they're going to go bankrupt. So when we put up licenses and numbers increase, we also do quite a careful business assessment to see will there be a demand, is there likely going to be a demand and a supply of what are tourists to actually make those business viable if they're properly run. So it's incremental to build up. The other area that Himangalisa needs to increase is MTF budget very slightly, so it actually can in certain areas increase staff. And here we're talking about a very minimal amount of money, think about 5 or 6 million rand a year. Our MTF allocation is about 20 million rand a year to run, as the Honourable Whip said, over 200 kilometres of park. And this is not a begging of money, I know this is not a discussion, but if you want to accelerate radical transformation, we need to be able to access programs to assist us in doing that. The other area we are very frustrated at the moment, not with government, is we have several development opportunities in the park that with a little bit of support, and how we look at fixed assets. Because when we put out a tender for a fixed asset, in other words, it's not a Land Rover or a boat, it's actually buildings in the ground. There we set minimum targets for local community equity. That's besides employment, training, and all the other things go with it. But in there, a little bit of grant funding, not from the department, but somewhere else we're looking at the moment, would assist in kickstarting 4 or 5 key developments at the moment, to directly bring claimants into a situation where not only are the owners of land with some revenue sharing, but they also have equity on a facility that can show their members belongs to them. Now, to get to this position, you see my business has spent 10 or 12 years building a market. 10 or 12 years of putting an infrastructure. So when portfolio committee comes to town from Busan, if you were there 10 or 12 years ago, it's 500 beds. It's now sitting on 2,300 beds. I heard from one of the officials that today they can't get accommodation in the park at the moment. So clearly, business has improved. Doesn't mean all business will be successful. So the opportunity for government to now capitalize on that is there, but the support is required. Maybe if you'd like to answer the question on net assets.
Thank you, Chair. What comes to the net assets increase is a result of the surplus for the year.
If you look at the statement of financial performance, the surplus was 2.29 as a result of that cost increase in the middle. Honourable Chair, there's one other question you asked me, which I'm just asked that it was new statute. Sorry. And that is, new statute is assessed with a number of 23. There were 22 produced. There was really an oversight. And this year, it's been carefully monitored. It won't happen this year. So that's how that is dealt with. Second issue is walk-ins. That's a bit more difficult. At the moment, we are rebuilding or building or scheduled to build a new gate, which moves the gate a little bit further away from where there's now the boundary of the park, which will deal with the issue of walking. In certain sections of the park, people who walk in don't pay. So the visit and others we can't pay only for this and others are paying for this service. You might also receive 500,000 paying visitors. Over and above that, you probably have 400,000 visitors a year who are not paying visitors. And the cost of capturing some of that would probably be more than the budget would allow capturing those figures. So they're not captured. But specifically, those two sections of the park. On New Year's Day, we have 90,000 people with the park who don't tax. And it's important because one of the challenges this Mangalisha has managed, and I think it's a useful issue to raise at the Port Development meeting, is if you've got 220 odd kilometers of coast inside a park, there are places you need where people who live around the park can visit it and have an ordinary day at the beach, like you would at Durban or at Margate or at Richards Bay. And there's always a tension there because it's conservation. So you can't put big swimming pools and that kind of stuff. There's an area we're grappling with. And in the south of the park, some juicier beaches are no charge to the public. We do, for example, as we're pulling into test season now, where there's a lot of alcohol abuse in African beaches. There's a lot of media in Durban, Richards Bay, Port Edward. We have road checks, which are not to charge people. They just say, have you got alcohol? Pumping alcohol into the park. But again, it's budget issues. In the north of the park, you have a sense that there's nowhere that you actually enter the park, which is A, no charge, except for Solana Bay. If you walk in, you can't drive it. And B, the facilities required to actually manage that kind of use without having increased or degradation to the environment. That's certainly an area that needs to be considered going forward. There's no answer on the table.
Just one issue for me. Who are your other funders? WorldBank, you said it in Russian. I don't see it in your report. WorldBank, USAID.
On the back of the report, on the back of our annual report, there should be a list of things for people. But our name, what comes to mind, our bigger funders are the World Bank, which is actually the jet, part of the jet facility, the implementing agency, the World Bank. We then get money from USAID, we apply to the lotto when we can. We get some budget through provincial projects where they are available. And we had partnerships, in other words, funding from people like the E.T. Murray Trust, where it's our higher education program, it's NISPAS, which is government, it's E.T. Murray Trust and ourselves, we combine, and we combine our resources to actually deliver. But the bulk of our funding is not in PF budgets from expanded public works programs, working for water, those kind of programs. The bulk of our day-to-day capital redevelopment back budgets or landscape budgets.
Thank you very much. I think my question was not abstract, regarding the net asset increase of 10.3 million. I heard the responding what said that because of the increase in your surplus, that's not the response I wanted. Because I wanted what led to the net increase of assets to the tune of 10.3 million. So it is being net. Because if you want the increase in the revenue, it led to the surplus of 10. This one is not giving us a surplus. That was not my answer. Please can I reserve my answer? My question that is only proper.
Sure,
what's your preparing answer for that one? How do you account for this other non-fiscal disease? Do you account to themselves? Of course, funders would like you to account, no question about it. But what is the mechanism of keeping the department that you report to informed of what you are getting? And what do you get? That's the question I ask. What do you get that makes the increases so unusual in this current financial year? How can you show it in the books that we have? And that it is not in these books. In which books is it?
Anu said, all the funding you receive goes to the same books. Our auditors are with the general. The funding, we receive funding is a contract with the funder, and the implementer sends that contract. We then have those projects when they're finished, we give a closeout report, and that is done by the auditor general. The closeout reports normally happen, if not at the same time, after the annual audit that happens. So if you take, for example, the budget of the World Bank here, which is a fairly substantial budget, that comes to Isimangaliso after approval from the department. The allocation to the shared facility is done with the department, because each country gets allocated some budget and projects get put forward. When the best project comes in for what they call a monitoring, a more fancy name for it, then normally those officials send a letter to the department, copy to me or to both of us, and on that visit they will also have a session with the department, either on their way in or on their way out. So it's accounted for and it is in the books. There's no separate books. It's money that doesn't have any subsidiaries or anything else to do with that. Where you have a biggest adjustment, say with the World Bank funding, that wouldn't be reflected in the annual report. Because it's the same when we have a business adjustment with a DFP budget, for example, in mid-year, if you do a budget adjustment with year and after obviously your time authority approval, it's not reflected directly in the annual report. To my knowledge.
Not that that's fine, I see. The increases in performance, how does that correspond to the increases in financial? Because you see, you have read it. I'm reading it because I'm reading. You have said you got some money. Where is that money that you got? In the books. Is it somewhere here? The money that accounts for the increase beyond what you had planned.
Yes, it is in the books. It's not identified in separate items. It's about it. The total amount of money in the books reflected as a budget item. But the adjustment won't be reflected between. So it's either it's a new amount of money, and it's reflected in the books, it will get Jeff World Bank money that's been received. But once money is received, they are accounted for in the books. Once the business plan is contract is signed, that's then will that be accounted for in the books.
No, I get you. I don't imagine it. I'm not a financial person. That's just about it. I will never be, because I don't have money. The only issue, when you say to me, you see, why, if it's in the books, then it means that we could have plans, if it is in these books. If it is not in these books, if it is still coming, it will be in reviewed books. But if it is in these books, you could have foresaw, you could have made, I don't know what you call this thing that you make to engineers, adjustments. That's why I'm raising this question. That if indeed you could have foresaw that you are going to have an increase, you could have calculated the increase, you could have then have made an adjustment to the ATP. In fact, I'm wondering about the ATPs where we have over-exceeded by more than 100%, by 100%. Indeed, if you can answer it now, I'm going to turn it to the department so that when we meet again, you are able. We are not saying you have not done well. We have done very well. The Auditor General says so as well. But what we are then saying, when you receive money from whoever, because obviously we'll expect you to plan on the basis of what you receive from the fiscal below. We know how much you're giving you. But when you have additional monies, at least you should have foresaw that you have additional monies. And it will not be the first time that you are having additional monies from Jeff, being a people that you have worked with for years. It was not your first allocation. And that's what worries me. And I'm not questioning the integrity of the entity. I'm questioning the planning. capacity of the embassy.
Mr. Chair, so I hear you. The issue is that if budget items are readjusted or new money is received during a financial day as much expected, it's just as you win the lottery. Then what is required to satisfy what you're raising is to adjust the APP during the year. And
no money is whatever.
Yes, that's it. And even smaller amounts look much more carefully at the APP to adjust it.
How we are doing.
Yeah.
And you know that that's what is like that. Well, that's what the public service ways of doing things say, and it's not me. It's saying that if we are going to exceed in a very dramatic way, we don't mean exceeding within normal, when we are going to exceed by 100%, 200%, 500%, it will raise eyebrows, by the way. Therefore, for you to cover yourself is to go to the minister and say, minister, this is what we said. But now we have won a lot. We are going to, you know, deliver so much. And we are proud. We want to put it in the revised age. That's all we're saying.
Thank you very much, sir. The representative must be seen as if you are trying to resist that. You are just trying to play our role in oversight, a political oversight role. So please don't take it personally. It is one of the jobs that you are required to do by you who voted us into this position. The other thing that I would like to honorable chairman is when you look at the financial statements on assets, that includes the values and assets as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Bylaws and assets aren't included. It's not a requirement to the AG. There are practice notes within the Dutch Australian government. We took an opinion, and I'm not using this expression, it's mine, the person is considered foremost expert in what they're going to accounting standards, who does all government standards, and doesn't see it. The challenge is bylaws for assets. Is when you manage to park any park, but the fish you park up is the money you show. The fish and the birds don't have passports to come in and out of the park. Every year, the fish Mangalisa has been a World Heritage Site. There has been a new species, previously unknown to humankind, that has been named and recognized globally. So, how do you divide those assets? Then, and I'll get two, three more points. And again, I'm not the chairman. Finance is not allowed. So I always struggle with some of these financial concepts, especially this important non-cash accounting. I struggle to understand it. But you've got cash, you haven't got cash. Anyway. The second thing is, if you've got game, like the rhinos and elephants and giraffe, the cost of counting them every year can be more than that they're worth. When you fly over a park, you might count 17 giraffes, and you think, where are the other 55 giraffes? You can't do that from the air, you have to walk. So you have to cut cut lines, and you have to walk. So Ishmael Galita does do game counts, but he does do them every year. So there's that monetary issue. The third thing that I think from a counting point of view is seen significant is we're not in the business of trading. So we don't farm animals like the farmer would farm cattle. So you have the assets, they're not for sale. The rhinoceros are not for sale. So that's the other determining factor that the accountants use. The challenge that entities have, not peer entities, talking about entities nationally, is sometimes the provincial AG will say you have to have bylaws for assets counted, but national says that you don't. And then the other problem is you do. And it's not resolved. But if you were to have to account for bylaws for assets, there would be a huge funding implication because of the cost of doing it. 1,300 species in each among these first person. So it's a debate that I don't fully understand. It's the accountants that debate it.
And you go after this and the tech.
Can you introduce this? need access increase. I can elaborate further. There was an increase in regards to property, plant and equipment. So the fixed assets have increased by about 2 million. In terms of our current assets, the cash and cash equivalents and the receivables also increased greatly. That is 550 million. That's it together in terms of the total assets came to 118 million. Compared to the 110 million which is actually the liability. Although the liabilities did increase from the previous year to the current year, that increase was minimal 207 million. Hence the difference between the assets and the liabilities made the amount of 10.3 million.
So I will say just on that, a bit of question that asked me. In our annual report on page 65, note number 17 deals directly with biological assets. So in annual reports, what they do is they put accounting notes. So if I would like to read it, with your permission, it's not very long. The issue of the Lisa Authority is responsible for managing a wide range of fauna, flora, geological structures and unique scenery. Since the issue of the Lisa Authority does not control conditions affecting the property or quantity of any species, and since the main line of business does not include trade these assets, it does not account for any biological assets. There's also a note about heritage assets.
Thank you. Them school me on 75. Your annual report, page 77. Again, this is just my own understanding. Page 77. Indeed, as you have pointed out, all the conditional grants that you have received are enumerated there. And for the year under review, 14 and 15, they are over 22 million. Is that correct? That's correct. Good. You were able to show through the department and yourself to the Auditor General that this is what, in addition to what we are getting, we got in the year under review. It also explains all the other increases in terms of services that you provided. Now, because you see, in terms of your accounting processes, you were able, in time to say how much, that should have given you time to review what services and level of services you were going to deliver. And it takes us back to what we agreed on. That indeed, if we... And again, maybe you should also school me here, Andrew. I said that even in 2013-14, you received 129 million from the same page. Now, therefore, the issues of getting more additional money or conditional grants in these areas of your work is not something that was only possible in 2014-15. It's something that you have known. It's something that you could have, with your prior knowledge, you could have planned better your outcomes. And it's again, that the point that I've been making, that from the finances, from the financial statement that we have now, and also information, additional information that we have, whereas how you make these declarations and whatnot, mean as a layman, I would say since 2013-14, you would have had an expectation from what is available now, an expectation of how much more in addition to what you are being given are you going to get from other sources. And that should have made you to prepare your ATPs in a manner that is more convenient than what you have done. Because from where I'm sitting, your ATPs cover only supposed to what you would be getting from the fiscal every grant. But it avoided all the other conditional grants that you got over years. But I'm just saying that as a passing shot, you have done wonderful work, but please craft your ATTs best. That's all. Moving forward. So that we don't say that we have exceeded when in fact we knew that we were going to exceed. Because experience tells us that we knew that we were going to get more money. We knew that there would be other additional fundings. Therefore, the 80 we crafted were in fact understated. They can't be reflecting any exit. From where I'm seated, you can disagree with me.
If I may just, we're fully in agreement and we take that on board. The issue just at certain times comes in where, for instance, the debt funding comes in after the period that we were allowed to review. So that might have an impact, but that we will pick up then in the quarterly reports where we started to see exceedance of that one, and that must then be properly explained to the portfolio committee when we come to the portfolio committee. But we take note. We'll take that point seriously, Chair.
Any of your parting shots, Edna?
Just to thank the support by the Commission. I'm being a little bit cheeky now, I know I'm not allowed to do it. But each time we get into portfolio committee, we watch quite carefully. And this portfolio committee, I think, is trying to get inclusive for business. And that helps entities because it helps us going forward, seeing where the challenges are and dealing with those challenges. So the points given are well taken. And just to thank the portfolio committee for the time that they're doing this entity. Thank you.
So thank you very much. Now, entities that define it. When you come here and say that you have exceeded, please be sure that you have exceeded. Just make sure first. So that you count properly whether you have exceeded or not. But again, we thank you. By the way, we will remain a national heritage site and a world heritage site, Ismangali. So, and you have done us proud by managing it and keeping it a world heritage site. No wonder we have also so many other people who are coming to the park to assist in the upkeep of the World Heritage Site. Indeed, the other issues that you have raised and are issues that we will take up with you when we are there. When we are with you there. Issues of transformation, you know, those issues will always be with us. Until we can say this is where we are. We were here, but this is where we are now. And this is to all of us. And those of us who were on the receiving end, and the majority of us were on the receiving end of economic activity. And this is what we are raising, and we are dealing with some other fights as well. We would like our people to, those who are on the receiving end, to feel that this is their country to come. Whether it is Manaliso or in the Babakan Vera Service or in Fandi or in GISL, we must have evidence that, you know, those who have previously disadvantaged through government delivering policy are benefiting from the fiscus. But of course, they must be different. When you benefit from my tax, I expect you to deliver. The same would apply to everyone we engage on behalf of the nation to give us any sense. But again, we really appreciate that this thing called transformation route is a route that is always under construction. There is so much, so many legacies that we must deal with. We were talking to the department about our coastal lines. Some that are still gated even now. Some people can't get in. Because some people have decided to take ownership of our coast because of their pole positions they hold due to the colors of their skins that allowed them to do so in the past. They can't allow that to happen in a democratic South Africa. And we said so to the department, and we will have to do everything in our power to ensure that when we say South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white, we must name it. And in fact, there is no other authority that will be able to give concrete meaning to this assertion unless government does. And then the government that has been put in office by people, that by the will of the people, is able to do this justice to those that have been in the territory, or even access, you know, access to a ghost, no matter they, you have no way to go, you know, in heaven, there are some troubles. But having said that, thank you very much, Andrew, if you can leave. Because you also have other, we don't expect you to sit here forever and not do whatever else we need to do at this nomination. Next relevant. South African relevance. Welcome, colleagues. We know that the CEO is engaged in other important activities. We do have her apology. And she did indicate to us that she did, but she will still send a team that will convince her that will be able to deal with all the difficult issues that we, you know, we always ask difficult questions, with all the difficult questions that we will ask. But again, let's ask the department to say what they want to say before you come in.
Jason, thank you very much. I'm glad to receive the apology from Linda. Nikeli will be, as general manager, will be dealing with the presentation. I think we've covered all areas that you are usually sensitive about, Chair. Let's hope it goes well.
Baba. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. The department and also my colleagues. Taking a tune from the brief this morning, Chair, I will just go on the dashboard of the project report and then the non-achieved targets and then try to reflect the actions or the measures that were taken and also go to the overarching achievements and explain why. Then the CMO would double state to the areas where we feel that there is still a gap and also again emphasizing details in the areas of the AG report. Then we can move to slide 4, where the test report. You will notice, honorable members, that you have been audited on the compliance with legislation, government rating, and financial statements. The previous year, 2013-14, we had 5 fundings, and then 2014-15, those were reduced to 1. This is, as you can see, it's mainly under a financial statement, but it is more on the IT systems. However, we have put some control measures in place, and we have also reported to the audit and risk committee of the board, and also the board, and this has also been accepted by the board. The CFO will also talk into detail into this one, Honorable Chair. And then, so if you can go to slide 9. Yes, thank you. In this slide, we just showing the overall achievement, where we have achieved 21 over 27, and 2 partial achieved, and 4 achieved, not achieved. We shall go through in detail to the next slide, starting with the next slide. Here, honorable members, you can see that in terms of the increase in partnership was not achieved, that was just, the target was 17%. Now, what we've done, we've already finalized one agreement with one commercial partner. And then the support agreement should be finalized soon. We are on the final stage of this. I hope when we report Chair in the next meeting, we'll be talking about finalized. And the second one, Chair, is also crucial, and we took time to finalize it because it talks to also assisting us on the radar data management, not only on the radar maintenance. It's a partner that has got extensive team in radar, both in maintenance and also in data. We are so optimistic of this one. The next one. In terms of the commercial revenue growth, Chair, we have not achieved. Currently now we are aggressively reviewing our strategic partnership for commercial purposes. And also one of the downfalls were related to the observation infrastructure. I must say now we managed to work on that observation infrastructure. And as of August, I think we were close to 79% in terms of data availability on the radar, because they play a key role in terms of commercial revenue. And in terms of application product and services, so we have started now to develop sector-specific products. We are moving away from anticipating what the sectors will need for them to perform, but we look at each sector specifically. And then the next one below, in terms of trying to achieve that too, it's a comparison between the LDN and the radar. So the lightning detection network, actually, we have achieved. It's the radar that we have not achieved. So what we have done now, we have engaged the original equipment manufacturer, as usually referred to as OEM, because the lead time to deliver the radar part is too long. Sometimes can go to over 6 months check. So that is the challenge. So we are engaging directly with them. The aim is to reduce that time check. And what we have also done, we have provided training to the radar experts because we need those radar experts to be able to clean the radar data. If we've got load shedding, for example, then the generator kicks in. There's a period also whereby as the radar is not, that data is not usable. Whether the generator is on, it is not usable. It takes time to stabilize. So those are also one of the challenges. But as I said, Chair, we have already managed to over 70% on the radar data availability. The next one. This one, Honourable Members, is talking to the target of increase in employee satisfaction index. This particular one, we also realize that it is actually a long term. So as we said back in our plan, we are now going to perform the next set of surveys during the 2017-18 year for us to be realistic so that we can see the results. So the next survey will be 2017-2018, Honourable Members. And then the one that is going to increase in the percentage readiness of critical successors. So what we've done now during this year, 2015, we have prioritized the leadership development trainings or programs. We have made some progress already, so we have done a couple already. This other one, talking to, because I've got the one, I don't see at the board, okay. I don't remember the first one. Yeah, the first one, yes. This one is about number of bursaries, two bursaries that were awarded. We indicated the challenge of financial constraints, Chair. I'm pleased to say the TITA having discussed with them have now awarded us additional funds, so we are also going to improve this one, Chair. And then we can go to slide 16 to talk to about the achievements. Okay, page 2. You can see the target there was 70% share, and then we achieved 96.5% on the usage of the application. we made a conscious decision here. We say we want to check whether our products or applications are used. So this was the new one. We did not have a baseline, we did not have an idea. So the target was the radio, and then we landed at 96.5 differential. But I think that because we did not have an idea. And then the next one was on products and services, under number goal 1.2, you put it. So the target was 4 products or services, and then we achieved 6. So above 2. I don't think this is a much different check. But I must say that the researchers, we did have some additional appointments which were also contributed into this achievement. The next one will be strategic objective 2.1, which is overall customer satisfaction. With the target was 75%. And we ended at 84.8%. I believe this is all about perception. You try to manage your stakeholders, your users, your clients. I don't know how to explain this. You just hope that the perception will be positive. And then the next one, next slide. The next one is on memorandum of understanding. I think this is the one, Chair, if you're most interested. Because the target was 5%, and then we got to 14% of the MOUs linked to the action. Although there was no baseline chair, it's because we did not report on them, because we did have some engagement in some years before. And then our experience was that it's taking long to conclude MOUs. So we base our estimation on that experience. I think our approach of talking to how the user will benefit from our products or services have assisted us to speed up the conclusion of MOU. That's what we can share in this particular. Okay, the next one. I think it's talking to 2 million. Are we on the same one? Well, the target for the aviation recovery cost recovery for 2015 was 101, and then was achieved 104.5 million. The reason here, honorable members, was that there was the volume of the aircraft, they are predicted, and we always have some disagreement with the representatives of the airline because one would want to over-predict, not to under-predict. So,
which slide are you on?
Slide 25, Honorable Chair.
I wish I said 25.
21. Then it's 23. Oh, sorry, Chair. Okay. I've missed 23, eh?
Yeah, I'm I
apologize, I was trying to rearrange and I was listening to you giving a little brief, so I made a mistake during the process. My apologies. So now I should be on 21. On slide 21, share there was a target of increase in partnership by 17%, which we have not achieved. I've spoken to each chair because not achieved. So what I did, Chair, I understand why I confused the numbers. When I was giving those next short slides, so I transported the explanation on non-achievement when I was talking to those. So, but I can see that if I come to the members, stop to non-achievement, because now I was going to focus only on our achievement. I'm not sure that I come to the members, so I guess I'm going to... you're not confused now?
Okay.
maybe it might be confusing us in the sense that then we go back to the snapshot.
Okay.
Because I thought that you wanted to make so many partnerships. You made some and you did not achieve in the start of the 70. But you did not fail totally on this matter from your snapshot. And unless that's why I was interested in your explanation. But then let's go to your snapshot again. So that is the snapshot.
Yeah.
The red one.
This the red one is not that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the red one, yes. So what I indicated there was that we were not achieving that target check. And then during the 2015 now, what we have done is to review our partnership arrangements.
Okay, I see why what. Okay, I see where the confusion came in. Maybe the confusion came from where we said 7 out of 8 targets achieved when we were speaking to something else.
Not
the one before this one. Then increasing partnership.
Yes.
For us to get 17%, we needed to conclude one partnership.
Pressure. Thank you, Chair. Here, what we've done, there are two aspects to this. It's that you need to appoint, and then you need to finalize an agreement. The legal clarification for this was the finalization of the agreement. So the work has been done, but what we did not do during that period was to finalize the agreement. So hence we said that it hasn't been achieved, but work has been done leading up to that.
Okay, now, for that, let me continue, then we'll come there.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So I think I call you from slide 23 for the overachievement. No, that's not 23. Or the bottom, yes. So remember, so at the bottom, we had a target of 14 scientific publications, and we doubled that check, and we also did not have the baseline for that particular one. But maybe I must also inform the members that we were not only referring to peer-reviewed papers there, perhaps that's why it was also easy to overachieve. And then the next one of the overachievement, slide number 25, the target was 101 million is for cost recovery for the aviation. So the one I was starting to explain, predict the air traffic volume, but then the actual air traffic volume was higher than what we predicted. That's why you have got that slight overachievement there, Chair. Okay, so the next overachievement is slide number 29. Are we together? Overachievement. 31. Thank you. Okay. So this one, we had a target of 92% of talent retention rate. We have achieved 98%. I think we were aggressive in terms of our performance agreement down to middle management level, and also managing to have as much targets that are able to hold individuals accountable, Chair. And that also affected the overall organizational performance. I think students are still at the bottom there. The target was 75%, and we managed to achieve 78%. 2.27, which is not that much here. And the next overachievement is related to 5%, what happened in that table. I think in terms of this one share of competencies, we have to comply with the Acquire requirements, which was not in place before. So in terms of forecasters, we had to achieve 100% to make them compliant. So the Acquire now don't say you're qualified for honors or matters only, but we need now to get portfolio evidence from the employees, and then they can assess whether they are competent for the job, they are appraised with the technological advancement on also scientific advancement internationally. So then we prioritize those aviation competencies. That's why we have achieved in this election.
Thank you. And the next one, I think it's 35.
Okay. The target was to absorb 45% of the fatalities, but we managed to absorb 55% share. Because we had a budget cut, so our strategy was that we delay the filling of vacant posts, and then we assess during the year, we manage to fill more than we wanted. Because the employee budget, when we make some savings, it helps us to balance our financial share so that we are not underspent. I mean, we are not overspent. Thank you. And, I'm going to hand over now to the CFO, because there are those areas we need to point to for the financial.
Chairperson, I will name it. As for the recent monitor session, we're not going to go through the detailed financials, so we'll jump straight to the outcome of this regularity audit for 1450 as per slide 51. Sure. So this financial year we had no material misstatements on the financials that we submitted on the 31st. Well, this year, actually, the 29th of May, actually, 31st fell on a Sunday. So we had to submit 2 days earlier this year, and this measurement was brought in by the AGO a few years ago to make sure that the Department of Public Entities doesn't rush and submit inaccurate information, and that corrective measures need to be implemented during the audit. So we're very proud to say that we had no material mistakes that handed in. With regards to the performance information, we received unqualified opinion. Also referred to by my previous audit, it's on the issue as a clean audit. And I thought it might be valuable to actually refer the committee to page 125 of the annual report, rather 126. The AGS part of this report was specific reference to performance information, made statements to say, I have performed procedures to obtain evidence about the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information. It continues to say, I evaluated the reported performance information against the overall criteria of usefulness and reliability. I evaluated the usefulness of the reported information to determine whether it was presented according to the National Treasury annual reporting principles and whether the reported performance was consistent with the planned objectives. I further performed tests to determine whether any performance targets were well-defined, verifiable, specific, measurable, time-bound, and relevant as required. It goes on to say the reported performance information was valid, accurate, and complete, and that no findings were found to show that the performance information was not useful and not reliable. Before a clean report on performance information, with regards to our dashboard, as the acting CEO mentioned, we received all green funding except for the ones on ICT. The fees that we received on ICT related to user access, firstly, and secondly, it related to the logging of security incidents. Now, the first one, user access, was the large change made by consultants, for example, on the system when they upgraded all service systems, subsequently to the implement the change management plans, which are also independently managed by the ICT department, separate from the people active within finance. The second item related to security loss, the recommendation of the Auditor General was that every incident on the system needed to be logged. We implemented it initially, and unfortunately it led to a very negative impact on our operations, as our system could not accommodate all security logs. Subsequently to that, we've actually re-looked at our governance protocol to identify those security logs that we needed to log without destabilizing the operation, and that has subsequently been implemented. With regards to the assessment of the security
logs, I wanted to find out where you are responding to the auditor's response. So you are responding from your head? Where is the response in the report?
Actually, there's no findings in source that affected the Auditor General's report.
No. There is IC finding. We have spoken to the Auditor General, and they have spoken to you. All that we are saying now. Where is that in the report? Not necessarily in the report, in your presentation. Because as you came to present to us, you knew that we are dealing in the main with the findings of the Auditor General and with targets that you could not meet, and you did explain why you did not meet certain targets, why you overmet some, but where is what we are saying now?
Actually, on slide 5, because the message reported by the AG was not of a significant nature, so it didn't affect the Auditor General's report. However, we highlighted it on slide 5, and when an acting CEO presented, he indicated that I was on slide 5.
No, you are not listening. Slide 5 was presented by the Auditor General to us. What he is presenting, we are repeating what the Auditor General presented to us. What we want from you is a separate response, not the yellow faces. We know about the yellow faces. We know what the Auditor General said about you. We know that you got everything green. That's why we don't want anything from you on the green. We need well. But on the one of IT, and indeed from where I'm seated, if I were you, I would have said these are findings that are not necessarily giving us an adverse finding. But this is the basis of why the Auditor General said what he said, and this is what we are going to do. In the report.
Thank you very much. To also like to emphasize the point that you are putting across. Actually, this is a public document now. It goes up like this, and there is no action on the public AG's report, and if there is nothing that the agency is doing. So what the chair is suggesting, that before you even give us this document, you will set it out, this is what you are going to do as an agency. To achieve the agency's report. Let's speak about what the chair is saying. Thank
you. I don't have a secret of another. Now, this Kumar Sagan will say it in Sulu.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. I think that was an omission. I don't know whether we can be given an opportunity to send the verbal explanation that was given. We thought it would be too detailed. We gave it to our board. My apologies. I hope we can be given an opportunity to send this chair.
No problem. Just receive it. That you are very common. Before you even give us, you are saying that explanation is there. Retrieve it, then give it to us, because we must receive. We take the Auditor General service. Now, you can't only respond through word of mouth to what the Auditor General has found wrong.
have not necessarily wrong, not strengthened enough our ICT government more. And I started with that in fact when we opened this meeting. I said, all of you, by the way, in fact the department will be coming back to us to make a presentation on this one, on IT. Because the Auditor General found that all of you have found wanting when it comes to IT governance. All of you, either in one way or the other. Either user access or risk are not properly mitigated, or there is no proper governance model in this area. So, but we take your point. But if the thing you did is wrong, let's just get the response. What measures are we putting in place?
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the systems of assurance drivers, that means some senior management in the organization, like to the audit committee, the agent can't that everybody is doing an effective job. With regards to internal control, which also includes ICT control, it was found that there were no deficiencies within the organization. The specific focus area, procurement and contract management, there were no findings. With regards to unfavorable financial indicators that referred to budget management, expenditure management, revenue management, asset and liability management, and also cash management of the organization. The organization is receiving unqualified opinion, also referred to by other entities as a clean audit, and in that regard, I can also refer members to page 125 that states, in my opinion, the financial statements present steady in all material aspects. The financial position of the South African Work Service as at 31st March 2015 and its financial performance and cash flow for the year they ended in accordance with SA Standards Rep and the requirements of the PSMA. Thank you, Bert. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think we can take the questions from the Chair.
Let me just do that first. I see the lady who was presenting. When we're raising the issues that they're raising, she seems to be shaking her head. And I think she doesn't believe that we're so ignorant of the issues that you guys have. Well, unless you can explain the shaking of your head. Just explain, what was the meaning of the shaking of your head?
My acting CEO said that we'll supply the information and details. I just thought that maybe when I explained, it wasn't meant as an important matter by the AGS. It was almost a housekeeping matter. And we have taken direction there, so we took action on it. However, I still think from acting CEO rectified in writing so that it can also see and if the AGS can take it in writing as well as a part of that. Thank you.
I recommend that your response by speaking to the mic. Now, by the way, we have heard what the acting CEO says that we appreciate. And we are saying that you can't wait until tomorrow. Because you have responded to the... Now, if you think it was insignificant, is that the reason why you then shook your head? Because you think that you are just mad. I'm asking, why did you shake your head when we're asking why did you not put your response on this matter on your presentation? And again, we agree with the CEO that it was an oversight. But you shook your head as we're asking the question, why?
Members,
So thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Just a few questions. The first one will be pertaining to the performance of the stage. So you have not met your target. You have tried to explain, especially 25 and 15, where 14% was not achieved. Now, I would want you to elaborate more, because your performance objective is central to the success of the organization. So can you give us more context and elaborate further? This will include also your commercial revenue growth, which you want to adopt actually. Give us what are the contributory factors, so that in future we avoid that. Now, throughout where you have not met your target, you are citing one thing that is budgetary constraint. Now, for me, that will speak to claiming, was this not the thing when you set up your target, that there will be budgetary problems? For me, that will also speak to the smart principles that should underpin your planning, as well as your strategic goals, like in one, which is not achieved at all. Now, Clark thought that identified the question of partnership as the strategic for this collaboration and working together. You have not achieved this partially. You have failed to explain, but in my view, the explanation is not convincing. Can you get into further details around that? Now, you like the commercial revenue growth, like in each page 13, as a new area that you are venturing into. But how then were you unprepared for this terrain for you to be in this situation? My last question was related to one slide 41, employment challenges. So you are raising country challenges such as shortage of core competencies required for the overall operation of the organization, shortage of human other constraints. But what we don't get is what are the contingency measures that are placed in order to respond to the challenge. And then on page 24, annual financial statements for the year end of February, March 2015, the same challenge. There's an increase in the legal fees from that amount to 2.7%. What are the reasons for the increase of the legal challenges? And then what do you mean by doubtful debtors? What does it mean? Doubtful debtors. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramsay. Basically, the entity needs to fast track the employee satisfaction index, because there is a discrepancy there. We need to come up with a strategy to ensure that they retain the staff, because this is a critical organization and it needs to retain your employee. My advice to the CFO, in the future, if you are thinking, you must not update that. That will go well in a politician's mind. If you do not decide with it, it takes it seriously off and it's taken.
Maria.
Slide number 39. They are talking about the employment equity. I just want to check, because I can't see if the school with disability are not accommodated to the equation. That's true.
Yes, that has about 3 things from me. The first thing that just for the SNC or to one more reason, the explanation given on slide 33 of the overachievement. For me, the reasons were not so convinced. I understand that because of the competencies and stuff were told to do this, that, but also that is the reason for overachievement. I just don't get it right. That is one. The second, in terms of your staff profile, does the Indian community have an attitude in terms of being an employer of choice? Or what is it that is
Thank you. respond to the question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honourable members. My colleagues are going to assist me here. So, but the General Manager for Human Capital Management, she can also assist Chair. I think the question of non-achievement on the convention, what I can also add, honourable members, is that we also had a vacant position of a general manager, commercial. So commercial in our organization is being supported by operations. We don't have a dedicated structure and the expertise are also limited. But then again, we take a conscious decision to also delay the appointment of the general manager. So we have now appointed the general manager commercial. She is now 3 months in the organization. So I think that is going, also going to help other members. But my colleagues will add if there's anything that they can add to that. Honourable members, I also would like to go to the page 26 to the chair. Chair, that is not an error, so maybe that was not a good way of putting it. Probably you could have put it somewhere in the bottom. So that was supposed to be an explanation. If you see, you've got those stars that are black, and then below you see the stars that are red. They kind of explain that that is depending on the contract of the partner. So I think the way that way we have put it that has also caused that confusion.
That explains why that the 26 with all those things in. Explain it now. Maybe you, some of us went to other schools.
But I want to do it this way again next time.
No. You're saying not an error. Just explain what you do in the street with two stars, then followed by two red stars underneath, then wedding. That is red.
My colleague is going to take over, sir.
Apologies, Chair, and I think let's take full responsibility. Definitely there is an error in terms of the fact that we could have been more complete here to put in that in 26 million, the R and the M on the screen. So we apologize for that, and we muted your comment on the quality of document, and definitely we'll work toward improving that. And in terms of the rest, there's my colleague has indicated. So we do apologize to you, and we apologize to the rest of the members for that.
Now, that's all that we have said, but I was hearing the acting CEO saying it's not an error. So I thought that he had some explanation of this new way of writing things. We have helped you up.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I will hand over now to my colleague, Dr. Lena Majogweni, who will talk more on the partnerships, and but I think people are more HR related. I'd like the acting general manager of human capital management to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start with the questions around transformation, specifically on the empowerment of women as well as people with disabilities and interventions thereof. With the Indians, it's not that we're not necessarily embracing or actually trying by all means to ensure that they join the organization. But in terms of our reporting, basically been concentrating solely on the areas that are SJR employment equity plans. First, when we started with the development, we were able to identify the races that are actually not underrepresented within the organization. And it includes the Indians that you see on the slide on page 57, that currently as the organization with the Indians, we're sitting at 2.7 in terms of the demographics of the country, it's basically 2%. So we do have opportunities where we're able to recruit them and to basically keep it within the demographics and concentrate more on the employment of Africans as to the current employment equity plan that we have in the organization.
And for the year under review 14-15, the HIV employment equity plan targets that we had, we basically reached, we achieved over 91% of that, and would like to mention that in terms of those targets, it was specifically the appointment of applicants, specifically women and people with disabilities. With people with disabilities, we're sitting at 1% within the organization, and we did put ambitious targets of 3%, and what we're basically looking at doing is to engage and actually have some discussions and agreements with the recruitment agencies that specialize with the appointment of people with disabilities, as well as when we do give bursaries to students, that we also be able to target some of them that would have disabilities so as to improve on the 1%. And just in general...
Do you know that 1% is in fact disregarding government policy? Government policy says at least 2%. Now you have been around for how long a source? You are not a new department anymore. You have been around for some time, for years. You are finding it difficult to get people with disabilities. Now, you know, we are having this college, you might take it as something not very important. We take it as important. We can have some categories of people in this country who are treated as non-citizens. We can. And particularly when all of us say at least 2%, you know, at least 2%. And then we, if all these categories, Ghanaians, Africans, everybody else, but when it comes to people with disabilities, we can't make a simple 2%. I think it is something that is unacceptable. Whatever you say you're going to do, whatever you promise us, the department, by the way, I know by heart, they are sitting at 2.8%. 2.8. You as an entity are sitting at 1%. We even ask them difficult questions about categories of people with disabilities. Now we can't even ask you those questions because we are not even at 2%. But continue.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to just elaborate further on the people with disabilities. At the time we developed the current employment equity plan, we were sitting at 2%. For people with disabilities, and then the equity plan that would have the additional 1% by the end of 2016. So the 1% is as of 2016, because in between we have had discrimination of people that would also include people.
Don't kill yourself. Government policies say that you don't plan for 2016 or 2018. It says particularly when it comes to these almost figures that we should not be having 2%. 2% of indeed our strategies, recruitment strategies from day one should have said what is 2% of our workforce and how do you get that 2%. And not say that in 2015, so your strategy is to get the 2%. When you are aiming for 2016, maybe we should have asked you to go and revise your agenda. Because you know, Candy, on this matter that affects our people so much, unless you have got other reasons, reasons of expertise, inability, but people with disability are there. They are in our communities, they are in our society. For you to say that you can't get 2%, you were planning to have 2% in 2016, of course some resigned. You then said that you really have less than numbers right now. Because you were planning, we're not planning for 2%, you're planning for 1%. So you could not have had even enough 2% then, even in terms of your own explanation. But that is neither here nor here. All that we're saying, when it comes to people with disabilities,
when it comes to vulnerable groups in our society, including women, that we have oppressed for so long, for so many years, we have no excuse not to miss what government does by saying 80%. It's sitting at 50% now. I don't know where you are sitting. But that is it. 2%. A lousy 2%, we can't miss it. We say we need how many years? 5 years to meet 2%. We don't have to listen. Maybe next time they'll come to us, have 2% put on camera.
We'll revisit another question.
Thank you, Chair. And in terms of the interventions around the transformation programs, we basically are having our key focus areas in the development of women, specifically for managerial positions, as well as the recruitment of people with disabilities and the employment of Africans across the organization, and especially for the second critical skills. So that's basically the key focus area, and around the career pathing, the leadership development program, as well as coming up with the talent retention strategies within the organization so as to keep those people. So that's basically what we're looking at. And if we look at the talent retention rate, now we should basically achieve it, the 86% has been through some of those programs that we have been able to put in place. Thank you, Chair. And then I will answer the question around the overachievement and specifically.
Well, whilst we are on this HR vision, I see they have given their salaries. How many have given to people with disabilities? But it's not yet. You have temporary statistical, temporary survivors, 47% of those were women, 89% Africans. Talking about Africans, you also have other people who were on the receiving end of apartheid dominance. Unless you mean blacks, because you also have colored people who were on the receiving end of Indian people who were on the receiving end. As to how you then deal with our equity numbers, that's another matter. But your recruitment and your salary structure, it doesn't seem to fit to the city of this country. But also it doesn't seem to, unless it's an omission, unless you do have salary structure taken to people with disabilities, for some reason they are not appearing.
Chair, if I may take this. Definitely, I think the management as well, we have seen that there's a couple of areas that we are questioning. One is having Africans is a critical skill, attracting and retaining those within the organization. The second one is women at the management level. We are having that challenge and we're focusing on that. That is what we instantly that our virtues are looking to that. In terms of people with disabilities, it's definitely an area that we have noted as management that we're not really doing well with that. It's an area that we are definitely looking at to ensure that we don't only get people with disabilities in non-core functions, but to ensure that we attract those people into the core and critical skills function. So that is the challenge that we need to do that. And we definitely see that our strategy is not necessarily attracting those people. So it's definitely an area that management is aware of, and we are definitely looking into that. So what I'm saying in a sense is, you're right, we're not where we want to be. We need to ensure that we have oversight of the area, we have strategies and we have processes in place that will ensure that we have a longer lasting solution than coming, but I'm saying we still have to engage. And we need to ensure that our strategies also address the issues of how do you attract, how do you train, how do you retain them within the organization, so that we don't have those problems.
How long have you been an organization? No, we hear you, but that might not be the same as if you were born yesterday. Now,
when did you start addressing what we are raising now?
I honestly don't want to say that we have not, you know, prioritized any group, any focus group over the other. One of the things that we have done as an organization, one of the areas that we've looked at was that of having applicants coming into the organization and changing those statistics. So this is an answer to your question that we have a number of challenges that talk to us addressing the policies of the country as far as the demographics of the skill are concerned. And none of those are less important than others. So as far as that is concerned, we've had some wins in this regard, but we are honest also to say there are some areas where we can definitely do better as an organization. So management is definitely looking at and addressing those within the available resources that the organization has.
Hello,
thank you. To address the overachievement on the intake and resource competency index at 20.85, that is mentioned by the acting CEO, we basically concentrated on the development of the aviation competencies. At the time that we developed and actually pushed the target we take for 2014-15, we're also taking into consideration the budget constraints of the organization, but because we had to basically comply as per the WMO standard as requested that the aviation officer, as well as the net technicians must be able to have or be competent, we had to prioritize with those competencies, and then also refine the regulation around the occupational health and safety had to be able to prioritize the training and other operations and training that which is still requested at the time. So with the available budget that we had, we had to be able to concentrate solely on the development of those competencies and the overachievement at 20.85. Because the organization for the 4% has managed to achieve 100% competency rate and allow 89% competency for the net technician. And then
sorry, I'd like to add that before we leave. I was actually making a note on that particular one when you commented on Sandy. That is actually one of the areas we're supposed to have revised media. You made an example of if you see you are winning a lot of. So I think in future we'll revise areas like that. Because it was different already media as our priority. It must change so that we can comply with the archive. Thank you.
Thank you. I think those were all the questions for me. Okay. So, I think the last one on the increase in employee satisfaction index noted that it was supposed to have been done for this year, but in terms of the, we basically not achieved it and are looking at doing that for 17-18 financial year. But what we're currently doing now is to look at what are some of those key areas that have been come out, that came out of the employee climate survey that we're supposed to have done in 2014, but we're able to do in 2014-15, so are addressing those issues now. And then once we've been able to develop and actually implement the programs addressing those issues, then we're able to do in terms of the index, or test the satisfaction index in 2018. Thank you.
Okay, if I may add on that. And I think what we also realized as management when it comes to that one was that some of the issues that technical needs were coming up with are issues that really need management to think around them. And to ensure that whatever we put in place is something that is going to address the issues long term. For instance, one of them was work-life balance. You know, so one has to really think around those programs. The other was how to improve communication in the organization. out that time as well, you still need to engage to say what are the issues and also come up with collective solutions to this with their employees in the organization. So we realize that it might be more prudent for us to really look at this program, develop programs that work within the organization, implement them, give them enough time for the employees to also experience improvement in the environment, and then look at how those strategies have impacted within the organization.
Any other papers on source?
There was one on the
with regards to the question on draft projects in terms of what does that mean. For financial statement purpose compilation purposes, we management has to assess the likelihood and the certainty at which date at your end is recoverable. So it's basically assessments are not only based about how long it has been outstanding, surely that's a factor that we consider to make the provision. And it would also be clearly distinguishable from being written off. So in this case, it's not written off. We really make a provision for the recoverability of it. And it should also be noted that it continues to attract interest for the period that it's outstanding. This is in line with the framework for financial consolidation statements to be very conservative when it comes to both revenue and all debtors. Then there was a second question regarding legal fees and to explain the increase or drastic increase in legal fees. The reason for that also relates to the matter that was reported in the annual report regarding payments to fraudulent recruitment agencies. And as we know, sometimes the control exceeds the loss. And in this particular case, it also happened where the loss of approximately 1 million rand over 5 years resulted in legal and forensic audit costs of approximately double that. But that does not take away the fact that the organization acts harshly on any fraudulent activities or actually follow up on almost an internal control pointing that there might be allegations regarding that and access to the policy and raise the mass suspicion.
Last one, just in addition to that, it was also felt by management that the process should be in such a way that it is managed fairly and also objective, and which is then why we engaged other services outside of the ones that we are part of the management.
The first one is so that you also school us. What do you mean by total assets decreased by 4%? So we sold some assets. Then you also say current assets decreased by 21.84%. That's on assets. What do we mean? Did we get rid of some assets, or did we lose some through litigation?
Thank you, Chair. I think you're referring to slide 50. It's correct to say the total assets decreased by 4%, but the total asset is comprised of non-current assets and also current assets. So the main reason for the total asset decrease is actually the reduction in current assets, which consists out of cash and cash equivalents. So our cash equivalents at the end of March 2014 amounted to 77 million rand. And at the end of the financial year, 31st March 2015, it reduced to 57 million. So it relates to the cash on hand. And the main reason for that is the increase in our capital grant funding last year for the HPC, which is in effect only implemented for real in the next financial year. So it was only expected in the next financial year.
By profit, then you mean actual cash.
It's cash as well, sir.
But we don't mean any actual assets that we lost.
No, we haven't.
We are not financial people. When I talk about assets, I mean of my house and car.
Sure, actually, we're real assets have actually increased as a result of the HTC, of a profit of $50 million that we acquired at the end. The high performance car seat level, which we got special for us, I don't know, $50 million.
But it's any takers or anything that you want to say before we summarize your questions that we must have then. But then let's just again say, you know, the nature of what you do, when we are sitting in our houses planning to communicate somewhere we are, I've got a friend who comes from a place called Limpopo. Now, you have to take a flight from an airport in Polokwane, go to an airport in Oa Tambo, then go to an airport in Cape Town. If we don't have the precision that you are able to advise on again the weather patterns, indeed, some of our flights might be driving in darkness and get all of us to an early death. And that's true. But because of the work that we do, we are able, by the way, all of us here, almost every week, we are about to take flights from our home provinces to come here. Twice. Or come here and go back. So we catch flights twice a week. On either Mondays and or Fridays. So even for members of parliament, the work that we do is important. Let alone for a variety of captains of industry. Some who are about to go as if they are using a taxi to London almost on a weekly or monthly basis, to Paris, to ensure that our economy grows, to ensure that indeed we are able to create the necessary jobs for our people. So the transportation means that they rely on a mode, planes, aircraft. Some, of course, have their own, but they rely on your predictions. They rely on your predictions. I can tell you, so far, to the best of my knowledge, if there is one national air carrier that has received so many wonderful reviews on its safety in the South African Airways, far better than even some national carriers of other countries that are so developed. We know what happened to Malaysia. So I would like to go to others that get targeted by some other people. But we are so proud of the work that we do, because we have not had any, even when we had mere incidences, it's not because your predictions were wrong. It's not. And we know that where you have these carriers or these little flights where people decide to fly on immaterial and not even check what you're saying, that's where we most of the time get into serious difficulties. Where people just fly because they know the area, they then don't even consider that what is the weather said today? What is the weather where I'm going? They think that, you know, they live there, they stay there, the weather will be like when they left. And we then get into all sorts of difficulties when we don't pay attention to the predictions that we make from time to time. So you are quite an important antenna in the cycle of the nation. The other day I was asked, in my other capacity, I was asked, why are state-owned entities so terrible?
are generalizing. You should be specific. Tell us which ones you are specific to. I can even assist you on which ones are there. But I also know state-owned entities that are doing good work. And I was on a national radio station. One of those SOEs that I mentioned in my response was the chair. Because I will repeat that again and again and again, because you're doing good work. But also do good work in other areas, like in your HR policy. So that as we praise you, we know that all South Africans feel that you are a wonderful depository of employment equity. All of us can be proud of you, despite the hard work you do, which also is very technical in nature. We need the people who are learned in this area of aviation and other areas, meteorology, that's what you say. And therefore, we never had those people in the past, particularly from the African race. We understand why we would like to push that at the end of the day, all South Africa's endeavors must be seen to be representative of the people who live in this country. So we understand that. As you do that, don't forget that we also have people with disabilities who live in this country too. Not to forget that. They live in this country too. And in fact, finally, we said to the department, tell us people that have got mental disabilities, how do you ensure that they are not discriminated against as you employ people with disabilities? At least they are employed, who have not started. We were asking them, because at least they are 2.8. You have not started. And again, when we raise issues with you in Parliament, we raise issues with you because we are proud of you. When the Auditor General from time to time says that, you know, when you didn't have a CFO, you produced misstatements, and the CFO came in, corrected, we can only be proud of this report that we get from the Auditor General. We can only be proud. And again, when they say that, you know, this time around we never even received misstatements from the South African legislators, we are so proud. We become so proud of yourself, because indeed the Auditor General is not a consultancy. That's why we employ people with the necessary competence in our organizations and sectors, in our portfolios and entities. People that know what crap is, I don't know what crap is. People who know how to report on our performance financial to the auditor. We employ those people. And again, we can see from where you are that indeed there is predictable improvement on your side. You are this organization of our people that you can only be proud of. And you can only get from one strength to another. But of course, when we again feel that we are not doing well, rest assured we will not pull our punches. We will not. We will not pull our punches. We will tell you as it is. When you want to hate us, but you're taking us for a ranking. Because our people brought us to this parliament to do what we're doing. If we don't do what we're doing, we might as well not be here. We might as well go and do other things. But we are expected to hold you accountable. Praise you where you're doing well, and be on your neck where you are not doing well. But on a count of 10, we can assure you that we can give you 9.5. But we don't want to give you 9.5. We want to give you 10 out of 10. So when you come back, deal with the comma 5. Go and deal with it so that when all of us look at you, look at your performance, and also look at what other people say, when they see somebody reading the news or whatever, after the news or before the news on any of our platforms, where those people say we are from the South African Weather Service, or the information that we are giving him from the South African Weather Service, everybody knows. Even those who are in the opposition, I've got a friend of mine who is from the opposition here, his name is Buhari. And another one, she just got married to Edward. But all of them and all of us, when the Weather Service gave us weather predictions, we know that indeed they know what they are talking about. They are not taking chances, they know. It's their area of specialty, and all of us can rely on them. So if we are one public entity that makes South Africa proud, and that is taking South Africa forward, because we are also assisting other African countries in this very important endeavor. But of course, even other planes that comes from everywhere else, your London, your Americas, when they come on our stage, they know they can rely on your predictions. Or even when they leave, they know what the weather is like here because they rely on your predictions working with whatever institutions they have in their own country. Having said that, colleagues, that concludes this meeting. Our meeting is not adjourned. We will allow our colleagues to leave. And then we just have some few housekeeping matters to deal with. But thank you very much. Very well done. Keep up the good work. Colleagues, ours is a very simple matter. You have a problem. You have a problem before you. Go and look at it. If you have got any comments, you will make your comments tomorrow so that we adopt the program. But in the meantime, we will still move in accordance with the program as proposed, as planned. The second issue, we are supposed to be preparing to go to Paris. Now, I think the whip must be called a whip.
I think it's not because we don't want to make enemies. Because some people are not going to feel it. They may think that it's on the basis of my attitude towards and they must all be rest assured that they remain good members of the portfolio committee. And therefore, they may not necessarily be my friends, but we always are objective when we deal with issues. The starting point perhaps should be that there has been communication with the House Chair to request that the Portfolio Committee on Environment be granted 5 members to get the place. It's usually a difficult one. We don't always get what we want, but that is the request so that we take as many members as possible. Now, if I were to talk to that, if we were to be granted the 5, the manner in which it's allocated is usually going to be 3 plus 2. 3 African National Congress members as well as 2 opposition. And how it will be like in the event we get the 5, it will be 3 from the ANC would even include members in the NSUC. So it's Parliament General, not the National Assembly House. It's the Parliament, the 2 houses. And then the opposition will mostly, first and foremost, be DA, followed by EFF. So any other part may benefit in the event one of the parties do not go. Yes, or something happens. Now, as in those parties is supposed to go with undertaking. Each party will have to sit, work out who goes, and will then have to come by a chair on the matter and then say, these are the results. What I'm raising is that parties have the responsibility now to then look at who from their parties should be forwarded in the event those names must come, what must then be completed to the House. The second element of the matter is often there's a way of requesting within the bigger delegation of government, because Parliament would then be part of the South African delegation, will be more than five, obviously, even from other fellow committees that have got an issue on climate change. You know even what happened in the previous year. There will be control committee on water, there will be other committees that see. They also have got an issue on matters of climate change. Who will constitute the parliamentary delegation? But there is also the member from the executive who will be part of the bigger delegation of government, of South African delegation, so perhaps. And that is almost between 30 and 40 as business people, the ministry, the departmental officials, the researchers, all of them will then constitute that big number. In the end, we are allocated at the discretion or mercy of the department, one or two, it may mean we can have an additional I'm raising that so that people are not surprised. In the event we interact with the department and we are allocated one more or two more persons outside the parliamentary delegation, am I clear, colleagues? There should not be a question to say, but we were told to fight. Why is now seven of us going, you know, at a later point? Because there are various engagements that we are trying to see with that probably the number goes beyond the 500. But you may find we still stick to five. If, for instance, the House Chair office comes to us and says, we are not granting you five, but three, it will affect the numbers that are just open. But you may identify that we get not what we want from 11, but then there's an additional person who can get into the parliamentary one. If we get through that and three the other side, we'll still stick to the five that we're speaking about. Are we clear? Yes. But I think I tried to sum up that I'm not going to the name. We may come back either tomorrow or from you, Chair. We may advise when do you think parties should provide these names so that we work towards a particular deadline. So that all parties by then are ready, we can then submit the name provisional for the five who may need to go.
Thank you. There we are, colleagues. Any ones of clarity? I think just read for you. Yes, yeah. So from my side, again, I received a letter, this is official. I received a letter from Honorable Member Spanner, who wrote me a letter and indicated that she has now been deposed to another proper committee. And indeed, we have responded to her. We wish her well in a new deployment. But we don't know whether the like it's going to bring us another person, but we think that we'll hear from the rest. But indeed, we wish well. We said she must also tell us which committee is sitting at, because she did not indicate in her email. Point of rest. Oh, okay. There we are then, colleagues. Let me also say another important matter as well as an announcement. I met with the management of Parliament yesterday on another issue. Your colleagues will know that we have never had a content advisor as this committee for ever since we started. Because when we started last year, failure of the department were then taken away and created a department, a fully fledged department, and the contract advised them that with the water portfolio. So there has been that attempt for the administration. I don't know why it took them 2 years or whatever. There's been that attempt to get us a corporate advisor. Again, it is indeed pleasing for me to announce. Of course, I don't know whether they've told the person. If they've not, the person will hear from me now. That's Dr. Scottney is now our corporate advisor. He has been working with us, doing wonderful work. Despite their processes that I don't understand, I don't understand those of this parliament, I really don't. They only came to me when they were coming to tell me who's our commander. How they shortlisted all these issues, I didn't even know. And who else they shortlisted, and this committee tell me that he has applied and he has to get an ask for him. Who are the others, and whether we should also make any other people apply for this? We were never even concerned. Parliament works in a very strange way. But in that may, in this instance, we are happy that we are still going to have this opening. We will then have an opening for a researcher that will then be advertised. But it will start, I think, in November in that position. Welcome, Courtney, again. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned till tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow then.